Okay, hi everybody. This welcome to another episode of the Milestone Hackers podcast, and I'm here with another guest, Sharef Kuruganti, who is a no-code maker, a designer, a product enthusiast. He actually was also a runner-up in Product Hunt Makers Festival, which is obviously a unique feat, and also a mindless perceiver. So I just wanted to welcome you to the show, Sharef. How are you?
Hey, Paolo. Yeah, really excited to have you interview me for the podcast. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. And thank you for having the time to come on. I really do appreciate it. I know, you know, us makers and people that are, you know, busy in this sort of entrepreneurial world, sometimes time is of the essence, but I'm glad you had the opportunity to come on. So I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, super excited.
Awesome. And so I just wanted to sort of jump right into things. And maybe if you can tell the listeners just like who you are, like what your background is, what you've worked on, and what maybe you're working on now.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Sharath. Hey, everyone. I'm a no-code maker part-time. I'm a product manager by day. My day job is like working at a Fortune 500 company as a product manager. My other interests are like startups, meditation, mindfulness, spreading goodness, love, you know, via Twitter. So Twitter is this big platform I've been like so fascinated about. And yeah, so as a maker, like I've been shipped almost like 7 projects till recently. So yeah, that's about me. And I'm also a founder, an ex-co-founder, I can say. With a friend, I actually founded a design agency, which we ran successfully for like almost 3 years. Then like we stopped and we kind of explored into tech. That's where I realized like, you know, I need to have a co-founder who is technically feasible to bring life to my product, the ideas I have with my friend. So we kind of like stumbled upon this no-code movement and we realized like, hey, you know what? We don't need a technical co-founder. We can do it ourselves and, you know, we can test it out. So that's how we kind of split up, me and my friend. We were like, you know, in this journey of becoming a maker, like an indie maker. That's when I found no code movement. I kind of like fascinated by the tools and the possibilities we have. That's how I'm like, you know, becoming or became a maker for the last year. So this journey was specifically started last year, exactly like I can say like October, end of October.
Wow, so just over a year. Yeah,
over a year. And I kind of like so much grateful and thankful for the community for the timeless support and love they showed me, you know, supporting my products, like whatnot, everything. So yeah, that's me.
Oh, great, great. And thank you for that. And so you mentioned a few things in there that I kind of want to dig into a little bit. So the first thing, just to sort of give an audience a little bit of a perspective, your perspective, like how do you manage your daytime job versus working on these other side, I guess, like side hustles that you have? Like how do you separate the time to half time?
That's actually a very interesting question. So it takes like a lot of intention and a lot of, how do you put this? A lot of like persistence and, you know, hunger to actually pursue what you really love while you're doing what you really don't, you know, possibly. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have to be that persistent kind of a guy to pursue your dreams. And so I've always been like persistent, patient enough to like, you know, put my time to what I love, really love, and, you know, what I really enjoy. So I'm not saying that I don't enjoy the day job, but I'm just saying that I love working on solving problems and creating impact for others. Through startups, I feel like, you know, through entrepreneurship, I feel like there's that space is like explored a lot, and even there's more to explore to create a lot of impact, like, you know, on the community for people. So that's my motivation, or you can say my intention behind like, you know, splitting up my time. I might answer the question, but it's all about persistence. Like, you know, hey, I have this idea, and being in that flow, you know, that drives me, like, you know, find time, like, you know, they say like everyone has 24 hours time, but most of them, like, you know, do things their own pace. At the same time, you know, when you put things in perspective, you can prioritize and, you know, you can kick things off. So
exactly. And that's, and I can relate. So this podcast is actually like a side thing for me as well. And it's more of a hobby. Mm-hmm. I also have like my regular full-time day job. And
right. We are on the same board. So we share the same.
Exactly. And you know, it's interesting. So this started off, just as like, oh, you know, let me try it out. And, but then you sort of like fall in love with, at least I did, the whole podcasting thing, like journey and interviewing people and just talking to everyone. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so even though I consider myself, I guess, busy throughout the day, like I have two kids, you know, I wake mm-hmm. up like at, mm-hmm. you know, early in the morning, I go to the gym before work and then I come home, you know? And so anyways, the whole point is like, even though my day's very busy, I still make time for the things that I enjoy to mm-hmm. do. And this is one of them. And so exactly. I guess you're in the same exactly. position there with, you know, your full-time job. And then
that's absolutely exactly. true.
Okay, yeah. Great. And then you also mentioned about, you co-founded a design, company. Mm-hmm. Maybe go into the mm-hmm. depth, like how did that start? Like, was that an idea that just came out of the blue, or did you and your friend sort of brainstorm something?
So I have this friend called KP. He's very active in Twitter. Shout out to KP. So he and I, we were like childhood friends. We were like kind of coached by a mentor called Dr. Bobby Sherwood. He was like the creative director for Saatchi & Saatchi, one of the, you know, biggest agencies. So it all started there, like the idea behind, or the fascination behind advertising, creativity kind of drew us to start our own thing. And we always believed in storytelling, both of us, you know, we were like big time Steve Jobs fans, like, mm-hmm. you know, David Ogilvy, like name it, like, you know, all the advertising legends and like people who are like truly storytellers, like Seth Godin. And we've been always fascinating, like, hey, why can't we like put it as a thing which we love? And we started this agency where we thought, like, we hired a bunch of graphic designers. Mm-hmm. So I'm from India, so we did that. And we started exploring options and we stumbled upon this problem of designing a pitch deck. So most of the pitch decks are lame. They are like pretty statistical and more numbers kind of a thing. So why can't we just, we question ourselves, why can't we just, like, you know, put some color, put some flavor, put some, you know, story behind each and every problem, each and every slide. That's how we did this design. That's how we founded this design agency called Bikehead Media. We started like designing pitch decks. We were called Pixar of pitch decks by many people. We won awards. We kind of helped startups to raise almost like $20 million through our pitch wow. decks. So we guided them, we kind of mentored them through storytelling, through design, and elevated their pitch deck in a much higher way. We actually worked with startups at South by Southwest. So that there they won like awards, like, you know, through our decks. So it's a whole, it's one of our, my personal favorite phase of my life, where I extendedly, fully, like, challenged myself creatively. How can we solve this problem, you know, through design, through storytelling? So that's the background of, like, that
agency. Okay. And so then once you reach that pinnacle, I guess, the level of success, did you end up, like, selling the company after? Like how did your involvement with it, like, sort of end?
So we kind of gracefully ended it. It's a service-based company. So we didn't get any offers. We would like kind of dissolved it ourselves because mm-hmm. right now pitch decks are being developed by its own tools. So we don't need a service. At least that's what we kind of realized lately after, like, you know, working for like 3 years in that niche. So there were like so many tools and the market kind of saturated and we felt like, you know what, it's time to move on. We did our best. Like we did design, we did, like, you know, pursue our thing. What So then we kind of questioned ourselves, like, what can we do next? So that's when we always have this fascination for tech. So we kind of like moved on. Did I answer your question?
You did. Yes. Thank you. Okay. So then I guess the interesting part to note there for all the listeners too, is like, while you were doing this design and you really enjoyed it and you loved it, it came to a point where you realized maybe this is not the path that we have to continue working on. And so you made that, I'm sure, hard decision to you know, gracefully let it go. But that's important because some people perhaps would really hang on to that for maybe a longer period of time than they have to.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, you know, it's not an easy decision to make. We literally treated it as a baby, like, you know, because it's our first startup, you know, we were like so attached to the company, to the employees, like, you know, we were so much into the process and enjoying it day in, day in, out. So, but then you have to also realize, you know what, life moves on, like, you know, you have the opportunity, you did your best, what else can you do? You have to question yourself, you have to challenge yourself in such a way that, you know, life is limitless. So you just have to move on so that you don't have to remain as you are when you want to become something else. So that's how, like, you know, we moved on. So
exactly. Okay, good. All right. And so then moving on to the tech side of things, did you learn how to like code, or were you more into the no code side of things?
So we tried, like, we actually like came up with an idea for a SaaS product. We kind of like outsourced. So it's not an easy thing to, like, you know, change your mindset to code, or, you know, because I'm personally, I'm more of like a design centric guy, more of like a user experience centric guy, more of like a product centric guy. So, and my friend, he was like, he's so much into business. He's more creative, talking like his sales, you know. So we both were, we both felt like, you know, we accepted the reality. We kind of felt like, hey, we need this third guy who really can build this idea which we had. So, you know, we didn't pursue that the coding area, but we did something called closing page. It didn't go through well, frankly. Okay. we did our best, like, you know, we tried, we outsourced the programming or the coding area to India. It didn't go well, so the product was like kind of okayish. Not to our, at least not to our standards. Like, we still then pursued, like, to solve the problem, which we kind of like didn't, there is no market fit for that. So we understood, like, hey, you know what, we did our best, like, we learned our lessons, why can't we move on again? So that's like the second startup which failed. I would say not the first one failed, but the second one terribly failed. So and we kind of accepted it, and we learned a lot of lessons. I never ever thought that is something I regret in life, because I learned so much while I was doing the tech journey, like when I started the tech journey with my friends. So it's hard, but, you know, we learned the lessons and we moved on. Then we realized, like, hey, you know what, you don't need a technical co-founder. You just, like, you know, use these no code tools to build MVP type of products or projects, launch to public, then get to know, like, you know, where you are. So that's the journey I started with my friend. Like, you know, he's doing his thing, I'm doing my thing. So I launched so far 7 projects and plans to, like, you know, roll this thing off. And, you know, eventually in 2020 is like planning to, like, you know, get together again, because now we have so much network in Twitter. We have people who are supporting us. Many people know, like, you know, what we are up to. So it's an interesting phase right now. So that I can say.
Great, great. And so just stepping back a little bit. So when you were working on the second product or second idea or second SaaS, and you reached out for the technical programmer, I guess, and you had mentioned the product was okay. Was that because of lack of their part in terms of coding? Maybe they didn't understand your vision, or was it just not product market fit? And that's the reason why it kind of went downhill.
Both. Yeah, okay. You know, I can say both, you know, we kind of like went into our own thinking. We felt like there is a problem, but in reality, there was no problem, because if there was a problem, we would have never had this conversation. You know what I mean? Like, because I've been doing that thing. So in reality, we felt like there is a problem, but there is no problem. That's like the 50% of, you know, the product being not up to our standards. The second being said, yes, we didn't, find the right guy. You know, I always believe that people who are like-minded will work in ease. Mm-hmm. So if you find someone who is not with you in ease, it's a wrong fit. So you have to either realize and move on, or you just have to, like, you know, suffer. So
yeah, exactly.
We did the later part. Like, you know, we said, like, you know what? We had a good run. Thank you for working with us. It was a nice time. We moved on. So
exactly. And that's something I also want to sort of mention. And it seems that you're really good at this, is, you know, you understand, like, when the limit is and when to move on. Like, it seems like, right, like between the first product or the first co-founding design and then the mm-hmm. second product, you kept some of the same, I guess, attributes, which is, you know, tried out, let's not devote, you know, 30 right. years of our time on this. Let's just say, okay,
exactly,
once we realize it's not working, let's just fold it in a really nice way, like, you know, not burning any bridges, and say, right, okay, thank you, but time to move on. So I really right. want to highlight that, because that's something that I think some people out there struggle with. You know, mm-hmm. they get so emotionally attached to their product because it might be their first product, or might be right. a product that maybe had a little bit of traction in the beginning and then mm-hmm. sort of stalled and then didn't, you know, I mean, like, there's so many reasons, but good for you that you had that ability to, like, you know, recognize that. And then, you know,
I would say that I was not born with that ability. I just, like, made myself through practice, through meditation, through mindfulness, like through like Buddhism. So I'm also, like, I follow Buddhism a lot. So with these lessons, you know, putting into implementation is what made my life easy. So through practice, like, you know, through implementation, hey, you know, you have to, at the end of the day, you have to accept the reality, and you should, you know, live with it, or else, like, you will suffer. So it's either of the choice. So life is all about choices. So you either make the choice or you suffer. So I picked the other one, so that life's good exactly. now. So
yeah, perfect. Okay. And so then, so you now you sort of, at this point, you've been dabbling in the no code side of things. Mm-hmm. And I did come across it, and I did watch, and I mentioned this in my other episode too, but I watched the no code conference, mm-hmm. which is interesting. Oh, I streamed it after the fact anyway. And uh-huh. I do have, like, I guess, like, a few questions, and I'm not sure if you know the answers to them or not, but I just for my own curiosity too, because I did, like, just, I don't consider myself extremely technical. Like, I am learning, mm-hmm. But it takes time, right? It's just right, day in, yeah. day out type of thing. So, and I realized the no code side of things, you know, might be a faster way to get something built and shipped out there, especially when you're new. I mean, you still right. have to know how, like, Airtable connects to Zapier and all those types of things. But I guess my initial question is, like, every single, I guess, no code product that I see, mm-hmm. it seems to have, like a pricing model attached to it. So, for example, if I wanted to use, I don't know, Airtable or whatever, mm-hmm. they might have, like, a certain pricing model. And then if I wanted to integrate that with Zapier, I may mm-hmm. have to choose their. So in my mind, and I don't know if this is accurate, and maybe this is not accurate at all, I guess mm-hmm. the question I'm asking is, like, if you're using multiple tools, doesn't mm-hmm. it become expensive because you're, like, buying each one and paying a monthly rate for each one?
Well, yes and no. That's where you have to be a little smarter. Like, you know, I would suggest, like, it all depends on the idea as well. Like, you know, what tools you use. Like, so for me, I just use Airtable and a bunch of tools like Card. I'll take back my word. It is expensive, but you have to, like, it depends on you, like, how far you can go. So mm-hmm. there is another route which I kind of felt is might help people. So you might have stumbled upon this legendary guy called Ben Tossel. He's the no code I would say like father of no code. You know, he's been so much like a huge voice in this movement. So he has this company called MakerPad, which talks about no code, tells you how to code, how to use no code tools, tells you, like, educates you, you know, whatnot, everything about no code. So when you subscribe or buy that 1 year subscription or monthly subscription, I'm not sure what it is, yes, you get deals inside these no code tools. So for example, I actually bought, so the Maker Journey, which I started, is with NewCo. It was the predecessor to MakerPad, and that's where I got my $500, you know, Airtable worth of credits. So that's what I'm using. But I bought NewCo as a yearly subscription. So you see what I'm saying? You need to be really smart. You can't like dry out just because you need to do something. You just have to balance everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause you know, like I said, I was just looking at it and I said, you know, and I was looking at these various tools and in my mind, and again, I didn't do much research. Maybe I spent like half an hour. It wasn't really long or anything, but and the thought came to me, I'm thinking if I subscribe to each one of these, like I'm going to be already starting off with, you know, quite a negative, you know, allotment of money every month. So I was wondering, so you made some good points there. You have to sort of do your due diligence and see like what other options are available for you to sort of make this work, which is fine. I mean, like no matter what we do out there, you're going to have to spend money at some point. You're going to have to prepare, especially if you're launching a company, obviously.
Correct.
You're going to be budgeting certain things, right? So that's fair. Okay. Right. And now in your experience, so I guess, you know, you made these seven different products or websites, or whatever they are. And how many so far have been utilized with the no code side of things?
All of them. All seven.
Oh, wow.
All of them are like no code. It's all, I didn't write a single line of code. It's everything is no code.
Awesome. Okay. And so then like, I guess let's talk about maybe, let's just say one of your most successful ones, just for a subject matter.
Right.
So whatever that successful product is, did you have an audience? Did you build an audience? How did you validate that idea? Like, how did you gain traction?
So the most popular product I did is this one called The Angel Philosopher. It's for the, you know, the legendary, like, you know, the angel investor called the Naval Ravikant. So he's the one who kind of had an influence on me, like, you know, about building stuff and making stuff. So that, let's talk sometime again about that. Like, you know, it's a big conversation. But yeah, I did was like, I always like fascinated by his content, the way he talks, the way he, you know, interacts with people, like, you know, whatnot, everything. So I felt like, you know, I saw there is an opportunity for me to put everything at one place, because the problem there is none of his content is at one place. It's scattered all over the internet, and you just have to like literally go to Google and search for like, hey, Naval Ravikant podcast or talk or, you know, our quotes or everything. So I saw that niche opportunity. I felt there is an audience who is like desperately looking for his content. That the validation I did is through Twitter. Before even launching, I asked like, hey guys, what if you have a platform where you can find all Naval's content? And they're, I was bombarded with like, you know, huge response saying that, hey, we need that. How can you build that? So I kind of did my due diligence. I did my research. I spent almost like 3 months gathering each and every single piece of his content over the internet. I went back through like 10 years, 15 years ago, what he spoke at his first conference or first, you know, angel interviews and all. So I gathered every piece of information I gathered together. It took 3 months, but building this platform was easy. So, well, when I say easy, it's like it's doable. So it took me like 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks to gather everything and, you know, make it as a platform. It went really well. So now it caters almost like 10,000 people or so every month. And I get like a lot of DMs in Twitter saying that, hey, you know, you did a fantastic job. You saved so much our time and everything is there. So.
And wow, amazing. Mm-hmm.
The success I can put it there is like it is right now in his Twitter bio. So if you go to Naval Ravikant's Twitter, it's his homepage.
Oh, that's so cool. Awesome. So you recognize the work that you did there and sort of
yeah,
made so, that part of his thing.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of like, you know, worked with him, you know, through email, obviously. He suggested me a few changes. You know, I did my thing, you know, with design and everything, and it worked really well. And, you know, he kind of accepted, like, you know, he can change his Twitter bio link to pointing it out to the Angel Philosopher. And even the name is like so relevant and apt. So, you know.
Yeah, very fitting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Okay, so then sort of a more generalized question. Like if you had to give maybe an entrepreneur who's just starting their business journey or perhaps mm-hmm. have an idea, but or maybe like a little bit hesitant, is there any advice that you can give at all?
Yes, I would. This is something I didn't do when I was like young and, you know, like 5 years ago. I would highly recommend people to stop dwelling and start doing. Just ship it. It doesn't matter. Just do it. Like, you know, if you have a landing page, ship it. That's fine. If you have a scrappy little idea sitting in your notepad, but you just want to make it real, use a no-code tool. Pay $10 per month. Just use $10 per month. Start with $10. It doesn't matter. You can think that, you know, you bought a meal out of it. So think in that way, like, you know, ship it. Don't hesitate to not include yourself in the game. So it's all about skin in the game. You have to be in the game, not in the sidelines. Sitting sidelines is commenting or, you know, passing opinions or like thinking that how did they do? If they did something, you can do it as well. So that's how I treat and that's how I come up with ideas, like, you know, it takes time and you have to be patient. So you can't do that in one single day. That's another thing. You have to be patient, but you have to do it. It's all about micro actions every single day. You do it one step at a time.
And I think it's important that you mention that too. Like, you know, there's probably numerous people that I've had conversations with who have an idea, you know, in the back of their mind, but for whatever reason, they're not really acting on it. And I don't know if it's just like a hesitation or if they're not, maybe to themselves, they think, it's not that good of an idea. Or they think, there's another thousand people that do the same thing. Like, how can mine be different? But I think you're right. I mean, like, if you don't make that step forward, if you don't put yourself out there, then you'll never know. So you might as well try at the very least.
Yeah. Okay. So I always believe in trying rather than sitting in the backside. You just have to try, put it out yourself, put the effort. You know, if it doesn't work, move on. There's something else that you can pursue. Always trust yourself in that way. That's what I can say.
And so we're just about getting to the end of time here. But before we go, I wanted to ask you one more thing. Can you maybe share an inspirational like quote, something along the lines? Because I know, like, you know, you're very into like the mindfulness and meditation. Something that maybe you found was helpful. Could be anything.
There are a lot, like, you know, I have like a huge list of quotes, like, you know, the recent one I can tell, let me think, there are so many, man. You know, that's a tough question because
I could imagine. Yeah. Putting you on the spot. I know.
it's like, oh my God. So I actually tweeted this, like today.
Okay.
It's a quote from Pablo Picasso. It's this very interesting, how would I put this? It's a very interesting angle, like, to see life. So it goes like this. So it took me 4 years to paint like Raphael, but a lifetime to paint like a child.
Wow.
So wow,
interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's that childlike mentality, childlike curiosity, childlike innocence is what I think really works. That authenticity, that innocence is what, you know, you have to chase instead of like all the, you know, all the bells and whistles, like all the money or fame or whatever it is, or results. It's not something that is temporary. What you really have to, you know, protect inside of yourself is that childlike mentality, childlike curiosity. That's why people like who are kids, they don't think about failure. They just do. You know, imagine a 3-year-old self-doubting herself. I don't think so. They would never do that. They just do it. So that childlike mentality drives, you know, in many things, like it helps in many things. So that's one of it, but there are so many. They're like, you know, I'm a big believer in like reading quotes and like replicating that in my real life. So so many.
Amazing. So thank you for sharing that. That was a really, really intriguing one. And again, I can't thank you enough for coming on to the show. I appreciate, you know, the time and all that. Can you just tell the listeners where they can find maybe anything if they want to contact you, whether Twitter or anything you're working on?
Yeah, sure. So my Twitter handle is at 5HARATH. So I couldn't find my original first name as my handle, so I kind of tweaked it. The S is numerical five,
okay,
followed by name, my first name. So, and I'm actually, that's something I'm, so one of the exciting things about November is that I'm building my own portfolio site using this no code platform again. So look for my Twitter. I will be announcing, like, you know, pretty soon. That's my side project, one of my personal side projects. So it's coming alive.
Okay, great. Thank you for sharing that. And so just for the folks who are listening, I will add Sharath's contact information in the show notes. So you can go there and, and check that out if you'd like. And again, lastly, Sharath, again, thank you very much for the time. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me. Such a pleasure talking to you. And, you know, this is my first time ever getting interviewed by anyone. So it's pretty exciting. And I'm looking forward to this podcast. I seriously wish you success.
Thank you.
And, you know, everything what you do is pretty phenomenal, like, you know, interviewing entrepreneurs, bringing the lessons out of them. So totally appreciate you giving back to the community, and good luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And same to you. Take care now.
Yeah. Take care.
All right. And that's a wrap. Another episode of the Milestone Hackers podcast with my guest, Sharath. Him and I, we speak about entrepreneurship in this episode. We touch upon being technical versus non-technical and the sort of uptick in the no-code movement. And then we also finish off with a little brief discussion on mindfulness and how and why that's important. If you enjoyed this conversation, please do go over to iTunes and subscribe. Of course, you can always email me directly at milestonehackers@gmail.com. If you have any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, potential guests you would like to see on the show, you can reach me at that email address. And yeah, that's about it. And I will see you on the next one. Bye-bye.